Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
For tuning into There's Nothing New Under the Sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C. We're in the Sanctuary Studio in Forestville, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I believe I have on the line with me tonight my big sister, Sheila G. You on the line tonight?
Yes, I am.
Praise God. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G, you on the line with us tonight?
Yes, I am.
Praise God. It's good to be back on the line for another Thursday. So we're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study to show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and as always, God, we pray that this will be done to your glory, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Sheila G., it's good to be back on another Thursday. We know it's been a challenging week, a challenging couple of months, but it was good to see you this early this afternoon when you were walking down the sidewalk on one side and I was walking down my garage on the other side of the street.
Yes.
and we waved at each other and spoke at each other from more than 6 feet.
That's right.
It was sort of surreal, but you know,
yeah,
that's the way God worked it out. But you know, usually you would have ran across and grabbed
yeah.
me by the neck, or I would have ran across and grabbed you by the neck. But we practicing social distancing, and
yeah.
it's interesting that that is a term that everyone's getting grips with.
Mm-hmm.
But I thank God today that physically, we might have to stay away from each other, but spiritually,
right.
Here in the body of Christ, we're in this together. And thank God that He said He never leave us nor forsake us. And many times we, Dr. G, we don't know how well we have it. And the old saying is, you don't miss your water until your well runs dry. And a lot of times you bicker and fuss with your loved ones and people in your family, and then you have time to be separated from them, and then you miss them. And same thing in the church, you bicker a little bit and fall out with each other, but then at the end of the day, when you can't get together with each other, you miss them. And so, you know, in all of our practicing, you know, our faith and our religion, we can't forget that we are human. And
that's
in
right.
our humanness that we experience emotions and feelings. And we are people that like to be among each other, even if it's for just a short period of time. Then we start getting on each other's nerves, because I know sometimes when we're away from each other, we get on each other's nerves. And when we're around each other too much, we get on each other's nerves. And, you know, we like to have it both ways, but we just learn to be like Paul, that we learn to be whatever state we're in, to be content and to appreciate each other as family and friends, church family, appreciate each other as just human beings, and learn from this pandemic that we're in this thing together. We need to know that whether we're of one race or another race, or if we're on this side of the track or that side of the track, whatever our social economic situation is, whatever our political ideologies or beliefs are, that at the end of the day, somewhere along the line, we are in this thing together, and we got to learn to work and figure out how to get along during these times, and give an example to recalculate and see how, when this thing's passed, that we can get along. And so one of the things that we do is to study the Word of God, and the Word of God will give us direction on how to do two things. And those two things are, first of all, learn how to get along with God, a proper relationship with God. And then the second thing is, once we learn who God is to be able to get along with each other. And so that's what we have to do, is we have to learn those two things, is to love each other as God would love us, and then also to love God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind. And when we get those two things right, then we'll be able to coexist with each other a little bit better, be able to empathize, sympathize with each other, and not be so selfish and combative and just ungodly at times. Sheila G.
Amen. And the last part of what you said is the key part, as far as not being so selfish. We really become, before this pandemic, we really had become a selfish world. You know, it's around the whole world, not just within a specific society. And especially with... It's funny how we had started using technology for bad. You know, you had the cyberbullying. You had people that always, I remember sitting on the train or walking down D.C., everybody has all the headphones or the pods in their ear. So it wasn't like, you know, you weren't getting that eye contact anymore just to say hi or just to say hello. We had all become wrapped up in each other. And when God did this, allowed this to happen, then that's when you saw the love and the support and the compassion and the importance of being socially connected. And it flipped that technology on its head, because what Satan had allowed it to be used for evil, because, you know, there were things that were being said through a tweet, or whether it be through Instagram or whatever, there were some things that, you know, that people would not say directly to someone's face that were very hurtful. But now we're able to use it to encourage one another. We're able to use it for church services. We're able to use it for prayer lines. We're able to use it to contact, to let people know that we're praying for them. People are able to use it to say, okay, this is how you can go online and figure out how to sew masks to send to people in the front line, that the nurses and doctors that are helping. So even through all this turmoil, things that were being used for evil can now be used for good.
Amen. That's so true. And Dr. G, it's amazing how when there is great challenges in people's lives, that God is there. He's never left. We're the one to wander away from him, but he doesn't browbeat us and say, "I knew you was coming back," or "See," or nothing like that. He's a forgiving God. He's a loving God. He's a God that wants the best for us. And anytime we repent and come back to him, he's there with his arms wide open. I was studying this lesson, and God has, I don't know what it is, but with people that are involved with murders, reviewed last week's lesson, and we look at Moses. Moses killed the Ethiopian or the Egyptian, and David had Uriah killed, and Saul was hanging around when Stephen was stoned to death, and those are the heinous crimes that we see in today's society. But a loving God will forgive those things, and he will use those people to his glory. And you know, that's God beyond our understanding, our finite mind. But when God sees people turn back to him, he's always there. And that's something that I think we really need to appreciate about God, is that he's never left us. He never broke his promise. And that we can always turn to God, no matter how grave or dire the situation, or how far off we've gotten away from God. Whenever we turn back, he's right there, Dr. G.
Well, you're right. And I think that's something that, especially for a lot of so-called believers, we need to hear that. And the Lord needed to remind us that he's always been right there. We're the ones that turn our back on him. You know, when we think that we got all of the answers, we can do what we want, and then if we need him, then we'll come running back to him. But the Lord is right there, and as you called out some of the key people in the Bible, he never left them, but he was always right there to welcome them back. And that's the thing about the Lord. That's just the way he is. And if even in the midst of this pandemic, you know, you would think more people would come to grips with this thing. You know, anytime this virus can hit the whole world and shut everything down, you know, to the point that even now, number 45, you know, even his craziness, he's beginning to see. But the governors have had to reach out back to other countries for help. And, you know, it's all kinds of good things that are taking place, even in the midst of this crazy virus. So, you know, and I just sit there and I watch. People are talking with one another. They're getting along. I mean, we joke about the fact that we have to stay 6 feet away, but they're laughing with each other. I mean, as Sheila was saying, you know, we're actually socializing with one another, something that we had just stopped doing a long time ago.
Amen. And it comes to when God created man, he created a spot for him to be in. In other words, there's a place in all of us in God's creation for God, and only he can fill that. And God is pulling so many things away for us to see that clearly. In such a time as this, I don't think anybody has ever seen something this bad. I know they talked about the Spanish flu in the early 1918, killed so many. But he's pulling things back, so we have to see that we need God. Man has been so dependent on man, and man has been so egotistical and so. I know everything that when we looked at Paul or Saul, when his name got changed to Paul in chapter 13, but we look at Saul, he was high and mighty. He was high and mighty, and he knew he was right. And you know, when we get to that point where we're high and mighty, we know we're right. God has to humble us a little bit and get us to understand that His ways aren't our ways, and our ways aren't His ways, and His thoughts aren't our thoughts, and our thoughts aren't His thoughts, and that He's in charge. And we need to humble ourselves, get off our high horse, and say, God, I know that man can do a whole lot of things, but man is looking pretty shaky right now. And the Bible says, don't put your trust in man.
Amen.
Because man will let you down. Man will lie. Man will cheat. Man will scheme and connive and do all kind of things. And even in these pandemic times, we see man is a little shaky. And he needs to, even the religious leaders are shaky, trying to tempt the gospel for a dollar. But we need to realize that God is the only answer. Sheila G.
Amen. He is truly, and he's showing it. He's just showing it that we are powerless without him. Because like you said, even the so-called religious leaders are showing that they're powerless by the fact that regardless of what's going on, they don't have the number one thing, which God says to love your neighbor as you love yourself. So they're willing to expose people, elderly people, to allow them to get sick, because you know at the end of the day they're just looking for that almighty dollar. They're it's all about the offering. So God is even exposing their greediness, and he's just exposing the weakness of man, because you know, this is God's not a respecter of person, but he has allowed this to happen to the rich, the poor, the young, the old, the black, the white, the Asian, every single country. It doesn't matter. And what kind of power, you know, God is a sovereign God, and he's really showing his sovereignty because it's all over. And we, if nothing else, this is a humbling experience for everybody, especially those that don't know the Lord, because they're confused. We know that if I put my faith and trust in God, regardless of what happens, he's got me. And if I end up passing, I know where I'm going. But I also know that he's going to lead, guide me, and direct my path, so I'm not going to endanger people for my fleshly desires. Desires aside, and what we're seeing in these religious leaders is using God for their fleshly desires, and that's being exposed. So it's just really a humbling experience, because even in the midst of this, you're still having hurricanes, you're still having tornadoes, you're still, you know, so it's still, everything is going on, and it's like you can't do anything but turn to God, because man can't save man, because they're weak. And he's just allowing these things to happen. And you either going to grow strong on your faith, trust in him, and keep it moving. And that's the only way that you can have peace through the midst of the storm. Or you're going to go in the other direction, and that's going to be more powerful. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I was like, in a time like this, I can't imagine not having hope, because that's the only thing you have. And I can't imagine having a relationship with the Lord, because if you're only dependent on man and you're only dependent on this world, then there's no hope, because this is an invisible enemy. It's not like something that has a gun where you can shoot back. And it's showing that we have to be united, and the religious, the those that believe in God, it's an opportunity for us to say, put your faith, put your trust in the Lord. It's not going to make things just disappear, but it's going to give you hope. It's going to give you peace. You're going to feel that, okay, God, you know, that death angel is going to go right past me, because we got blood on our door. We got the blood of Jesus that's covering us all.
Amen. And that's the thing of knowing God for yourself.
Right.
Like, so we're human, and people have emotions, and people have concerns, and people have fear, and people have all sorts of the spectrum of humanness. And in the midst of that, if you have that hope and you understand who God is, then you can have a peace. And this is what people often, you know, they look and say, how can you have so be so peaceful in the midst of this? Well, why? Why, when everybody else is trembling and so unsure, how can you have this peace? And it's
right.
peace in knowing God and know who,
right.
who created this world, and
yep.
and to understand that He'll give you a peace. And when He was talking to His disciples, He said, "I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I'm going to give you another comforter." And you know, when you understand that you can have this comfort through the power of the Holy Spirit, that in the midst of the trials and the tribulations and the ups and the downs and the shortcomings of man in this world, you can have a comfort by the presence of the Holy Spirit that will allow you to realize that God has a plan, God's in control, and
yeah.
Pray that God would use you or whoever to be able to help His plan and His control, His control come through. And then
right.
that was one of the things that Jesus prayed when He was on His way to the cross. In His humanness, He said, "Father, if it be possible, allow this cup pass from me."
Mm-hmm.
And he had a moment of humanness, and because
right.
He was God and man at the same time. But in His spiritual wisdom, He said, "But nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done."
Wow.
And people, you know, as we're approaching Easter and we're approaching Good Friday, and I remember back, you know, 20, 30 years ago, Good Friday was a powerful pre-celebration. Churches
right.
and people would get together, and you know, we would go through the Bible and rehearse the last part of Jesus's life, and people
mm-hmm.
would prepare for sunrise service and
yep.
Resurrection Sunday, and people would go to the stores and buy new clothes, and it was an exciting time. But it seems like people are like, yeah, whatever, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to check my portfolio in the stock market.
Yep.
I'm going to cut my grass. I'm going to watch football. I'm going to catch this at the mall. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And they've forgotten about God. And,
that's
and
right.
They've
that's
forgotten the, about the sacrifice of God's son to save us from perishing. And that's what John 3:16 says, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish, but
mm.
have everlasting life. And so what people need is everlasting life, but they don't, they've forgotten the one that God gave, that we don't have to perish. And He doesn't want anyone to perish. But we forgot
right.
about that part. And so here's the opportunity for us during this time where I believe it was the president, he wanted everything, the economy back open by Easter Sunday, by resurrection. He wanted the churches packed for the economy. But he's never said anything about worshiping God and
right.
thanking God for His Son. Easter is like Christmas. It's like time to get the economy back together, because people buy shoes and Easter eggs and jelly beans, or people buy Christmas trees and toys and keep the economy running. But when it comes to your life, you can have all the money and all the economy in the world, but if you don't have life, health, and strength, and you don't have a Savior, none of that money is going to do you any good. Shilji?
Amen. And that's why in the Bible it says the love of money is the root of all evil, and that God does not like a prideful person. And that's the two things that the world has totally become, not just the United States, but the whole world. It's like that love of money, that love of power, and the whole pride of life that, you know, I'm better than everybody else. And that is the very things that God allowed to be attacked and allowed us. That's why I said earlier about it being a very humbling experience, because it's letting people know, nope, just because you're more dependent on the money and economy, and you think that's what's going to sustain us, because he even said, if you don't open it back up, you're going to have more deaths because people are going to commit suicide. And that's just evil, because why do you love money that much that you're going to kill yourself and go to hell? What can money do for you? It's like the love of money and that pride of money means power, and that's not true. And as you watch this pandemic, the ones that are suffering are the most, I mean, we're all going through whatever we're going through, are those that have power and money, because they're not used to dealing with controversy or disappointment or making adjustments to their lives. And God is showing, I'm all powerful, but that love of money and that pride of life, no, that's not going to get you anything. And it's really going to turn some people around and take a look to say, oh, I'm not as powerful as I thought I was. And then he's going to show it, because, again, you know, God allows things to happen so we can see it, because it's not going to open it up at Easter. The economy is still going to suffer, but we're still going to survive it, and we're going to get through this storm. But it's going to be because we're trusting in the Lord, not because we're trusting in man.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Dr. G?
Well, you know, for me too, I listen to the news reports, and I mean, you know, we are definitely living in a negative situation right now. But even in the midst of all of this negativity, there's still a lot of positive things that are taking place.
Right.
Never before have I seen people come together trying to help do things that will help the, you know, the nurses, the doctors, even you know, little boy, little kids are doing things just out of the blue to help. Whereas the powerful ones, they still trying to find ways, you know, to recoup their losses. But again, God is still in the midst of this. And, you know, as we were talking last week, you know, he just throwing that cord. Can you hear me now? Because people have had become so of themselves, and he's knocked everybody off of that high horse. Number 45, he was the chosen one. He hasn't used that lately.
Nope.
You know, the economy, Tommy, he want to get things back. He hasn't pulled that one out for a while. So, you know, the Lord is getting people's attention. And, you know, I'm thankful that, like I said, even in the midst of all of the negativity, there are still a lot of positive things that are taking place.
Amen. Amen. Let's go to Acts, the 9th chapter. And in this first part of his 9th chapter, Saul, who was the writer of the majority of the New Testament, and people say Paul, he in Acts 13, he says his name was Paul, and then they start using Paul for his name. But in Acts 9, Saul, and when you compare what Saul was doing in chapter 9 to what Paul was doing in chapter 13, Paul wrote that if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature, that old things have passed away, things have become new. He wrote that in I believe it's Corinthians. But what happens is God is looking for an opportunity for people to be converted, to become what he wants them to be. And that's so crucial in the Christian life, and it's so crucial in the life of the church, and it's so crucial for today, is that God is wanting us to be what he wants us to be. In
Amen.
Other words, what he intended for us to be all along is to be a loving people to each other and a loving people to him. Jesus said the greatest commandments was that we would love our brothers, and that we would love, no, the first one was that we would love God with all our heart, our soul, and our mind, and that we would love God as, love each other as God has loved us.
Mm-hmm.
And he said all the commandments hang on those two. And
yep.
And so God wants us to be converted into what he has designed us to be. And so for time is this, God wants the people that started off as Saul to become more like Paul. And all of us got some Saul in us. Some self-righteousness, some high horseness, some need to be fixed in some kind of way in us. And we all need some fixing somewhere, and we all need to be humbled somewhere. And so there has to be a lifelong process or a sanctification process to get us some stop being so much like Saul to be more like Paul, to be able to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, and to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we can be what God wants us to be. And so we see Paul had to go through a change. And I know people don't like change, but God is wanting a change in our lives. He's wanting a change in all the souls to be Paul's. He's wanting a change in this world. And so if we look at verse 5, I want to go to Acts chapter 9, verse 5, and he said, "And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, who thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And when we recognize that Jesus is Lord, we're at the beginning of our conversion. We're right at the beginning of our conversion, and when this happens, there was something that causes us to be able to say, "God, I've been in a situation where I've never been in before," and Saul was in a position where he fell off his horse, he was blinded, he couldn't see, and all of his power and authority was gone. And God spoke to him in the midst of that moment, and God told him, "You fighting a battle, a losing battle." He said, "You fighting a losing battle," and he said, "Who in the world is this?
Are you?
That I cannot see, that's kicking my behind?" in other words, Dr. G, Saul had a COVID-19 moment. He got his butt kicked.
Yes, he did.
By something he can't see, he couldn't see, and was powerless to deal with it.
Amen.
And God got his attention. In verse 6, it says, "And he trembling," and this thing has got people trembling.
Amen.
Trembling. And he trembling. Verse 6, "And trembling, astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And God said, the Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." In other words, you've got to learn to lean wholeheartedly on God and turn to God. I don't care what it is. God told him, "You need to get up and go do what I say to do." And when we get to that point where we're tired of getting, I think last week you said you're tired of getting your butt whooped. Are we tired of getting our butt whooped when we're standing against a power that is greater than us? And we understand that he's trying to get our attention. And when God speaks, he said God spoke to him. God's speaking. God is speaking right now to this world.
Yes,
the invisible God, the creator of this world, is speaking to this world. I think it was over 1 million people have been affected by this virus. Last week it was like 1,000 dead in the United States, and now it's going on 6,000. And worldwide it's over 25,000. And so God is saying, "I'm going to knock you to your feet. I'm knock you off your high horse. I'm going to knock you to the ground, and I'm going to speak a word that I want you to turn back to me, to do the things that I have instructed you to do with all the faith, not looking to the left or to the right, but doing what I have said for you to do." And I believe that in this time, God has given us a window to get it right. And all of us have been in that situation where our parents tell us, "Get it right.
Get it right.
Get back up and get back in line." And we need to get back up and get back in line. I'm not talking about anybody's line. I'm talking about the line of the Lord, that we have got that trembling moment. Everybody needs to get that trembling moment. Where in verse 6 he said, trembling and astonished. And I believe all over this world today, people are trembling and astonished of what God has allowed to happen to this world. Sheila G.
Amen. And that's so true. When it's in the NIV, it does remind me of our parents in chapter 6, I think it is. And it says, now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. So he had gotten his attention so much so that he just did the commands, didn't tell him what to do, what the plan was, what we're going to do. He just said, get up and go into the city. Then I'm going to let you know what's going to happen. And that's almost the same thing that is with COVID-19. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows from day to day. But God is like, get it together. Get yourself, get right. Then go do, follow what my instructions are. Know what's going on and what the plan is. It is one of those things where no, from day to day, you just don't know. And that's happened. It impacted everybody differently. There was a lady that was on the news where her husband was on the ventilator, and he somehow eventually he was knocking on death's door. You know, he was comatose. We just knew he was going to lose him, and now he's come home. And when she was talking to the reporter via Skype, he was like, well, what do you attribute that to? She said, I'm not one that would normally say this, but I'm going to say it today. It was a miracle.
Amen.
Because he was pretty much gone, and that's the only thing. And she said, of course, you know, he had great doctors and great nurses, but to see what he went through and how quickly it had impacted him and how I was preparing for him to die, for him to be able to come home now, it's a miracle. But had that not happened, she would have never said God does miracles. And that's how he's impacting each and every person, and they have a choice at the end of the day to trust that this is God working, or they can say, well, you know what, it was just the hands of the doctors and the nurses. But it's just like here, God is saying, now get up, go into the city, then I'm going to tell you how this is going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
But you all aren't going to know from day to day, because if I tell you that it's going to be Easter Sunday, then you'll be planning that, oh, I'm going to do whatever I'm going to do, but Easter Sunday is going to be all right. No, I'm going to force you to walk by faith. I got your attention now. Can you hear me now? And now just go and do what I tell you to do. Be led, guide, be obedient, and then I'll let you know what how it's going to work from here. But you have no control over this situation. And that's how it was with Paul, and he followed his instruction. He got his attention first, got him to ask, "Who, Lord, what are you doing?" And then he said, get up and go, and that's exactly what he did.
Amen. And He got into a place where he said, all right, I'm going to stop your plan. And I believe it was for, I forget, 3 days. He shut him down.
Amen.
And in other words, he had to stay home order
Come
from
on.
God.
Hello.
Sort of like many people around this world had to stay at home order, where don't go out, don't do your thing. I want you to be quiet. Be isolated. And so God had to isolate him and blinded him and had him for fasting for 3 days. If you look at verse 7, it said, and the men which journeyed with him were speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did he eat nor drink. And so there's a whole lot in these three verses, but there's a time for us to be quiet. There's a time for us to fast. There's a time for us to reflect. And sometimes we get so busy and so caught up with what we want to do. We don't be quiet, that we don't reflect, that that we don't pause, that we don't fast. We're just so busy doing the things that we want to do, doing the things of the world. And so God said, I got your attention, and you can't see. You shut in. You're on the stay at home. So while you're at home, I want you to fast. I want you to be quiet. I want you to listen to me. And this is what God is good at. He's good at getting us to the point where he said, I need to just chill. I need to stay my butt here, listen to what God says, get his message so I can see where I'm going astray, where I can see where I'm, you know, not doing what God wants us to do. And he's doing this worldwide. He shut people down, shut them in worldwide. Stay at home.
Stay at home.
And while we're at home, we should be listening to God. We should be praying. We should be fasting. We should be trying to get a clear message, a clear vision from God. And when we do that, God will, in his time, he'll lift this thing. Just like he allowed the scales to fall from Saul's eyes, and he was had a new vision. God wants this country and this world to have a new vision, but we gotta close eyes. We gotta fast and pray. We gotta take some time off the world fast lane, fast pace, and get to a place where we're refreshed and we're renewed and willing to do the things of God. Dr. G.
Well, you know, along with all of that, you know, he's saying to everybody, not just here in the U.S., but to be still and know that I am God. And in the midst mm-hmm. of staying home, you know, I hear so many people say they're home, they're bored, and I come back and tell them, well, at least you're in the land of the living. You know, we have to be reminded of that, you know, we could be in a hospital somewhere on death because of the virus, but because we're in, you know, we're complaining about how bored we are, or if we have kids, you know, trying to keep them occupied. But as you said, it's a time of reflecting. It's a time of being still. It's a time of spending some quality time with God and listening to what he's been trying to tell us. I mean, the Lord for a long time has been trying to get mankind's attention, but we have been so caught up doing our own thing. And when we look at each year, each century, you know, it's gotten worse. And, you know, we go on about our own little bit. It's about making money. It's about power. It's about prestige. And you know, we mentioned about the religious leaders. The same day, you know, it's just stupid. It's crazy, you know, where we're thinking and how we're thinking. It's not about being obedient anymore. And even with Saul, Lord had to just give him a good old butt whipping, and that is what he's doing with us. Mm. Now, I remember when I was getting them butt whippings, look, all I could do, go in my room, quietly cry, get over it, and just shut up and be still. Mm-hmm. Then when you get yourself together, my mom would say, all right, now you can come on out the room. Mm-hmm. And as you know, the Lord is not going to let this stop mm-hmm. until he's ready.
That's right.
So we need to do what Paul did. Mm-hmm. Stop complaining. Stop trying to do our own thing, because it's not going to end until the Lord says, now is the time. But the question is, when it ends, then what? Are we going to go back to mm-hmm. where we were, or are we going to stay at the course and do what the Lord wants us to do?
Amen.
Amen. Amen, Shuji.
Yeah, as you all were talking, the thing that kept going through my head was, we have been too busy for God.
Amen.
Across the world, you know, everything's been instantaneous. Everything's at our finger. You know, you got these cars that could drive themselves, and even had people that were, I forgot his name, that making the thing so we can go to Mars. You know, it's just like, you know, it's almost like man has been bored because they got everything. You know, you get in your car now, you don't need to look at a map. You just do your GPS to get to where you want to go. Now you got these remote controls where, you know, back in the day we used to have to get up and change the channel. Now you don't even push the button on the remote. You just speak to the remote. You know, it's like, you
Amen.
Know, now we can give somebody a piece of our mind without having to look at it. And, you know, we always talk about the generation, you know, we used to get on the phone and call someone. Now they just send a text.
Yeah.
And And then it's this whole thing of before we had cell phones, you had to wait for a week before you could talk to somebody. You know, it just had to wait. And we were going slower, but it gave us more time to reflect. But by doing all this, we've just become busy, 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 and too busy for God. So God is like, okay. You can't be busy now. You can't go here and there now. You're going to sit your butt down. You're going to do what you're going to do. Because even me, you know, I'm working from home, but it's like I have to get used to just being in the house. I can't walk over here. Can't walk. I mean, I walk, like you said, I walk down the street, but it's not like I'm all over the place, you know, going here, going there. And so during that downtime, it's not like I'm running around talking or doing stuff. I'm talking to God and, you know, talking with my kids. And so it's starting to build those relationships again. But we have been too busy for God. So, you were talking about Christmas and Easter. And those were, and we've shared this before on this line, where it was a time that if you didn't go to church any other time, everybody would go Christmas and everybody would go Easter.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed the last years, that has not been the case because everybody's been too busy. So they're like, you know what, I pray or I look at the app on my phone and read a scripture here and there. But then that's just being religious. That's not being godly. That's not being having that, developing that personal relationship with him. And that's kind of how Paul was. He believed in God, but he was into the legalistic or traditional or Jewish way of doing things. And so God looked at Saul and was like, okay, I'm going to take that same commitment, but I got to get your attention so that I can direct you in the path that I want to direct you to.
Yeah.
Because Christ died not just for the Jews, he died for the Gentiles as well. So I need somebody that's going to be that religious and traditionalist to follow and teach the Gentiles about the Comforter, about the Holy Spirit. And that's kind of how we'd gotten even in the church. It was like, okay, for those that would go Sunday, again, it started to be a tradition. It was like, okay, I got to go, and I'll give my couple of hours. But for the rest of the week, I'm going to do my thing.
Amen.
You know, I'm just going to do my thing. So it became a habit or traditional or legalistic type thing. And God is like, nope. I'm gonna even put you. What you gonna do when you don't have that building? What you gonna do when you don't have that building for those couple of hours? Are you gonna worship me then?
Come on.
I've given you all the opportunities and the ways to do it. And there's gonna be some people that are gonna say, okay, well, all right, I'm gonna fall off. And then there's gonna be some people that are like, you know what? I miss church.
Yeah.
I miss being in church.
Mm-hmm.
I miss having that connection and start to develop because they're home. More and more of that personal relationship with the Lord instead of trying to get that quick fix out of guilt because, you know, you grew up in the church and mama said you need to go, but have that joy of going, that joy of worshiping God. And that's what he's doing now. It's like, okay, you all got too busy for me, so I'm going to take all your excuses away, and there's no reason for you not to be able to pray and talk to me every single day. So he's just slowing that the whole world down. And this, and the fact that we're in Saul right now is just like an example. Like you said, it was like he had a COVID-19 experience and where he had to sit 3 days and couldn't see. So at that point, God was able to speak to him and speak to him alone. And that's how God is taking us off that fast track, taking us off the traditional habits, and then allowing us to be real with him and exposing those that have just been faking the funk.
Amen, amen. We're going to go to the phone line. We're going to ask the question tonight, has man gotten too busy for God? Has man gotten too busy for God? We're going to go to first caller, last 4 digits, 1741. 1741, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good
evening. Good
evening.
Yes, we have gotten too busy for God. We don't give him as much time as we should give him. And God is so merciful unto us. Looking at this with Saul and how God showed him grace. And he was so grateful because God could have just let him go on and continue to do what he's doing and, you know, just be lost. But he showed him the grace and salvation.
Yes.
And so giving him that love and that grace, he was able to write and to share it with others and to be this great preacher that God had called him to be. And so it is a lesson for us to let us know that God's grace is sufficient for everyone. Whoever wants it, he will give it to them. And on the flip side of that, sometimes we that already been saved, when God has shown them that love and that grace, sometimes we are too fearful, or either we don't want to share it mm-hmm. with them. And so we have to go forth, because that same grace that God gave us, you know, he wants us to give it to somebody else. And so this is what this is all about with this COVID-19 also. You know, this is an opportunity, regardless of where it came from, what it started mm-hmm. with. We are God's people. Mm-hmm. And God, a lot of people is going to be saved through this.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I just want to share one more thing. I was sitting here thinking, you know, Jesus suffered. He suffered so that mm-hmm. we would have that abundant life. And we are just, the little suffering that we're doing down here is nothing compared to what he done for us.
Yeah.
But sometimes we have to go through some things to know that it's, you know, that Jesus paid a price.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes, you know, we just take so much for granted. You know, we take our families for
Amen.
Granted. We
Amen.
Don't love them the way we should. And, you know, sometimes we get mad when we see them coming. We don't want them to come because sometimes they're so full of drama. And so, you know, I'm just keeping it real. But, you know, the Lord, he's building relationships, because we don't know when we're going to leave here. We don't know when our family's going to leave here. And so the Lord wants us to be better with not only with our family, but with one another, with mankind everywhere. And so this
Amen.
Is an opportunity where the love of God can be displayed. And even the ones that we know that their motive is, you know, gain, materialistic gain, we're going to continue to pray for them. We're going to pray that God will open up their eyes, let the scales fall from their eyes.
Yeah,
when God
yeah.
allowed the scales to fall from their eyes, we're going to call them brother, and we're going to call them sister. This is what I love about this, because when God sent his servant Ananias to go down there, he called
mm-hmm.
him brother Paul, brother Saul. You know what I'm
yeah.
saying? He accepted him, but God had to deal with his heart too. And so
mm-hmm.
God, so in the process, God is dealing with us too,
mm-hmm.
because he has some other sheep that he want to bring into the fold.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a spiritual experience for the saved, and for the ones that are not unsaved, it's going to be one for them too. Because God, like I said, Sunday Pastor, God is going to get the glory out of this situation. No matter
mm-hmm.
what it looks like, he's going to get the glory.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that God don't have a cure. See, he has the cure. He has the medicine.
Yeah.
But the thing is, hallelujah, the thing is, man has to reach out and he has to touch the hem of God's garment. See, God wants some people not just to be healed. God wants some people to be made whole.
Amen.
He wants people to be made complete in him, to know who he is, to know what his power is, to know what the Holy Spirit can do in his life, and then share it with others so that he can be lifted up. He can get the glory. And so he has to, God has to answer.
Mm-hmm.
He
Amen.
Has all the wisdom and the knowledge. And when he see that it's time to reveal it to man, then God going to give it to man.
Amen.
And God going to get the glory. And man going to know it. No matter how much they might boast,
That's
God
right.
still going to get the glory.
That's right.
His
That's
name
right.
is going to be glorified. Thank you,
Amen.
Pastor.
Amen. 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 Thank you for your comment tonight.
Amen.
We can go to the next caller. Last four digits, 6309. 6309, you're on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Question is, has man gotten too busy for God?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I believe man has gotten too busy for God to have, yeah, the time for God. Because I used to be one of them, making excuses, couldn't do this, couldn't do that, because I wanted to do my own thing. But since I've been with him, no. I don't have to put up no post-it. I don't have to put no note on my door. I know when Wednesday and Thursday, when I get up out my bed in the morning before my foot hit this floor, I'm thanking God and praying. So it's in me. I don't have to make no excuses, because I know who he is. I know what he is, and I know where I want to go. And I know can't nobody help me but him, because we can't do nothing without him.
That's
so
right.
I'm just thankful. I'm not one of the ones that used to do that. Yeah, I used to do it, but God didn't help me. He didn't turn me around. And like I said, I don't have to have nobody call me in the morning so I can do this. Let me set the clock. I don't do that, because it's in me now. That's it, and that's all. But
amen.
I appreciate, I believe what he's doing now, and I believe that all we have to do is be obedient. We can just be obedient to what he says to do. It's not them making those rules. Those are God's rules about
that's
6 feet and all that stuff. They ain't got nothing to do. I don't know what they're doing. This is God. You've got to be obedient to God, and that's what's going to save all of us. That's
amen.
All he want to see. And we're going to lean and stand and depend on him and not that world out there and not
yeah.
number 47 down there. Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Yes. I thank you for listening.
Amen.
And it's always a pleasure for me to be on this phone. Yeah, just like I said, Wednesday, Thursday, and Sunday. Yeah.
Amen.
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 Well, thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to the next call. Last four digits, 3343. 3343, you on the air.
Yes, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure to me. I love it. I love to see him shut it down. And seeing them walk around the street and look like they're all walking like zombies and carrying on. You look like you're lost in the whole world. He just been sitting beside you, just been trying to talk to these people. They just don't listen. I love the church. I've been loving church all my life, but I can't go to church now, and it makes me mad when I can't go to church in the regular day. Now, these are the odd days, and he has shut everything. You going to not talk to me? I know how to fix you. Shut it down.
And amen.
It just tickled me to death when I walk around and look at him now. It's all closed up. Your box is closed up. I called a friend of mine today, and I said, I don't know why God told me to call you, because you can't pick up the phone and call nobody, but you always say you ain't at home. You on the phone. You get busy all the time. I say, I can catch you today. You're at home now. Oh, we can talk. Okay, buddy. That's why I love God, the way he do. He do things. He just don't want to talk to me. Okay, I'll fix it. I'll shut it down. Now you can talk. Now you're at home now.
Amen.
I wasn't at home. I was busy there, but you ain't busy today. Well, good, brother. Now, if he gave the day tomorrow, or this Sunday, when it's supposed to be, he's supposed to be at church. I bet you'd be at church this Sunday, and you were supposed to be that way. But whatever it is, whenever we get to church, I'm going to love it to death. I don't care how we get there, walking or talking. I wish if I had to walk, I would walk if I could, because
amen.
It's too far for me to get where I want to go. But anyway, where church is, I didn't want to walk, but I would love to be there this Sunday. I certainly
amen.
Would be. I would love to ask the pastor some questions.
God bless.
I love it. I just love the way he shut it down. If you don't talk to me, just don't talk. I don't care. You're going to talk to me one day.
Amen.
All right, but I'm glad. I am enjoying myself. I can see somebody and then talk to somebody and just look at them funny and laugh at them real good. The neighbor look at me. Oh, he just want to wave. Oh, you can wave today. And the other time you're too busy to wave the other time, but you can wave today with your mask all around your eyes and everything, looking like a zombie. But that's all right. I thank you, Father. I love it. Shut it down. I don't care. Come on. Thank God for this day. Blessed Thursday, the day I can talk and laugh with y'all, because you don't know, I laugh the day I walk around and look, and the clothes is closed, and the door is closed, and they're looking around crazy, candle. And I know God just laughing. I know he just laughing. So you won't talk to me? I bet you'll talk. You will talk.
Mm-hmm.
When it's your time to talk, you'll be running off at the mouth. You won't, probably don't even have to be talking no time. They'll be preaching to him. But thank God for this day. Bless your Father. Thank you, Pastor. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We can go to the next caller. Last four digits. 1411. 1411, you on there?
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Yeah, I definitely think throughout the history of mankind, man has always found a way to be too busy for God. I think, you know, it's a combination of some people intentionally doing it, and I think it's a combination of others who just are so caught up in the world and so caught up in the flesh, it's easy to be consumed. And I, like myself and the other callers who called in, I've been that person. You know, my pastor will tell you straight up, there were times that I wouldn't call because I didn't even know if I was going to be working or not. I just like, nah, you know, Wednesdays, Thursdays are pretty tight. And, you know, then it was Sunday school. Then I'd be like, nah, man, I've been, had a long week. I don't know if I'm going to be working crazy hours. But, you know, slowly but surely, God got my attention. And then once I stopped making it about myself and the things that I wanted to do, God allowed life to stand still so that I really legitimately could call in on prayer service, call in on Bible study, go into Sunday school. But I had to consciously make an effort to say, you know what, God, I want to do these things. And God said, well, don't worry about it. You worry about your part. I'll take care of the water main breaks and the customers so that you can try to learn a little bit and get closer to me. But again, God, you know, had to get my attention. And I believe that that's what he's doing now, because, I mean, the world is, you know, so consumed, so self-consumed. I mean, a lot of people are victims to this technology and a lot of technology. God, I mean, that's really what people are doing. I mean, you think you take somebody's cell phone, I mean, you'll see a whole different person. And you realize how these people really worship these gods of cell phones and social media and Instagram and all these different things. And I truly think God had enough. You know, he said, you know what, I'm going to stop the world. I'm going to make the world stop and get the world's attention, to where now you realize, like, now what do you do? You know, where do people go? And I think God wants to know who his true Christians are. And it's not when everything is going great, but it's in the midst of adversity when God, we can really see who his true believers are. When God can say, okay, it's easy to worship me when everything's great and everything is good. But he said, now when you're at your darkest hour, when you can't go out like you used to, and now you're stuck in the house, or unfortunately some people are losing their jobs, and all these things are happening all of a sudden. Think about it. We've only really been, a month into this, 30 days into it, and people are losing their minds and killing themselves and whatever else is going on, turning to drugs, whatever. God's like, well, who's turning to me? Let me see now, if you're in church every Sunday and we talk about these things and we preach about these things, now you're in it. What are you going to do? Are you going to start applying the word? Are you going to start applying the scripture? Are you going to start, you know, really having these songs having relevance to you and what goes on? I mean, how did you come from it? But, you know, I believe there is a silver lining to it, because the sister stated some people are going to get saved from this. Some people are going to get closer to Christ. And sadly to say, God's also going to weed out the fake Christians. The Christians like, you know what, you're not built for this. You know, you talk about it, it sounds good, but when you really need to lean on God and when the world really needs to be in prayer, we don't see it. You know, the Christian goes behind closed doors, or the Christian blends in with everybody else, when we're supposed to be letting our light shine, you know, in the darkness. We're supposed to be the one to stand out amongst everybody else to say, look, you know, the Bible speaks of this. We're aware of this, but why are we hiding? Why are we not standing out and preaching and praying and just, you know, blessing this world, blessing this country? We're not doing that because we're scared. We're scared of what people are saying. We get caught up. We forget about God, you know, and I've listened to people, my mom and everything. I mean, they've never seen anything like this in their lifetime. People who are in their 80s or 90s have never seen it. But guess what? They know the Bible talks about it. They're prepared for it. Mm-hmm. And I'll be the first to tell you, I respect what's going on. I obviously have to be smart, but I'm not scared. And I tell people I'm not scared because I said I know where my faith lies. And if I'm a child of God, none of us should be scared. We should be the ones on the front lines taking control of this situation from a spiritual aspect. But again, God's going to see who's real about this, because guess what? This is just the beginning. I mean, this could happen again. It could go away. It could come back in a couple months. I mean, nobody knows. But what we do know is this. God is real. God is everlasting. God is truly in control. And most importantly, God is watching. He sees what's going on and who's doing what and what churches are doing what and what members are doing what we're doing now. Because, like you said, a lot of churches just closed their doors. How many churches do you think right now are having call-in services and things like that? Everybody's so self-consumed because guess what? I don't got time for God. I got to get to the grocery store. I got to, you know, pay my bills. I got to do all these things. But even in the midst of this, people are still trying to find any and every excuse not to lean on the Lord. And I've seen it with my own eyes. So God's utilizing this to get people's attention. But guess what? Everybody's attention is not going to be got. Some people are ignoring the signs and not paying attention to what's going on. And God's taking his notes. God's recognizing it. And guess what? And one day we're all going to have to answer for it. But, you know, I, again, like I said, I do believe God is trying to get people's attention by utilizing this virus, you know, that which unfortunately is plaguing our, not only in our nation, but plaguing our world. But we got to get serious, man. We have to get serious. And, I mean, I've even taken a step back and reflected itself because now you got a lot of time where you're by yourself. You know, you're not around a whole lot of people. You're just there with your thoughts. And I've even had to say, Lord, like, what can I do? Like, how can I get better? I mean, am I falling short somewhere? And I'm even trying to figure out how I can even grow even more in the body of Christ. But I had to be honest with myself. But, you know, the world's in trouble. I mean, I hate to say it, but, I mean, I still see people out here just thinking this is a vacation and taking this as a joke and not doing what they need to do. But, you know, I truly believe that if we don't get it together, these are signs of the end times. And I hate to say it, you know, a lot of people don't like hearing about it and talk about it, but if you open the book of Revelation, it talks about things like this. It talks about how the beginning is going to start and how it's going to eventually evolve, and then it's just going to be all these things that nobody ever wants to talk about. But I tell people, you better pay attention to what God's trying to tell you, and you better get on the right side because, like I said, this could be the beginning. Prayerfully, that it's not. I definitely have a lot more years of life that I would love to live, but like I said, I put all my faith, I put all my trust in the Lord, and I know God is going to see us through it and work it out. But I can say now, God is paying attention, and I really feel sorry for those people that once we come out of this, they're going to just go back to doing what they only know how to do. No one's going to learn from it. Everybody's just going to be so glad to finally get out the house and post pictures of social media, them going out, going on vacation, you know, having parties and doing things. And I really feel sorry, and I pray for those individuals that aren't going to take heed to God's message that he's putting on full display right now. I'm seeing it's crazy. But, you know, all we can do is pray for them, and that's what I will continue to do. But, yes, man, seems like they're going to continue to not get the message and not pay attention and be so self-consumed that they're not going to really make time for the Lord. But I've learned my lesson, and I will continue to try to learn and grow in the body of Christ, even when it seems like we're in the midst of the darkest hour. I still know that there is one true God, and that is my God, and I will continue to believe, have faith, continue to try to be better each and every day. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We're going to go to the next call. Last four digits, 7971. 7971, you're on air.
Good evening, everyone. This is good stuff. The question has, man.
Has man gotten too busy for God?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they have.
Mm-hmm.
And this is God's way to let us know that we are not in control of anything.
That's right.
And Pastor Kason and Pastor Gregory touched in on the thing that I was, when things get to the point where you get frustrated and you think you're getting frustrated with God's word, that's the time to go to the word.
Amen.
And this week I have searched and it just turned to this Ecclesiastes chapter 3.
Yep, chapter 3.
Time for everything.
Yep.
And then when Pastor Gregory and Pastor Kason was saying, there's a time and a season for everything.
That's right.
And that's what's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we have allowed the goodness of God and the things he has provided for us down through the years for granted.
Mm-hmm.
I have never in my 79 years of life seen anything like this or heard of anything. You read about it in
yep.
God's word, but yep. never on this earth today.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the way that this is going on, you know God is in power over it.
Yep, that's
mm-hmm.
right.
You know he is. He doesn't show up. He just shows out just to let us know who's in power.
That's right.
The only thing we can take for granted in this world today is that God promises. God's promises is permanent. This other stuff, you can't count on it, that man has set up.
Mm-hmm.
God's promises are permanent, and these things are just a season that's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's over, this is the only time you go in the store. Everybody's nice.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is nice. You hear me? It's like they thank God going to get them right now.
That's right.
Bumper, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Hi, how are you? You for day today. Now, why can't it be like this all the time?
All the time.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't it be like this all the time?
Mm-hmm.
Because they know they're perpetrating a fraud, and they know God knows it. They're not crazy. They know that God knows everything about you, what you're thinking, what you aren't thinking. This is a terrible thing.
Mm-hmm.
And man has no control over it.
That's
no,
right.
His heart out.
It
to get it,
it
right. To get it right. And it has no discrimination.
Mm-mm. Nope.
No discrimination. Your title, your this and your that is nothing.
That's right.
So he's given us an opportunity to restore ourselves, to
yep.
cleanse ourselves,
mm-hmm.
and get it right with him. With him. All this other stuff doesn't matter. God is going to get our attention, and he has it. I see it.
Amen. Amen.
I see it. And I'm telling you, people were saying to me, and I was calling a lot of my friends and shared what we experienced in my house on Sunday. I'm telling you, God's house is where you are. Your house is, your body is the house.
That's right.
That's right.
When we had communion in this house, I don't think this house has been no, since my husband died and the heart of God came into my house. The church, the people, not the building, but the
That's
people.
Right. That's right.
And when I laid out the communion just like it is at church,
mm-hmm.
and pastor, that's why God has no particular one. We all can do what he wants us to do if we just give him ourselves a chance.
Amen.
Amen.
As he was talking, I was serving my family communion.
Amen.
And we
Amen.
All embraced each other afterwards. Why? The other last night, I listened to my nephew in Atlanta, his Bible study. After I finished talking to him, Stephen called. I'm like, how are you all doing? This
mm-hmm.
is what God wants us to do.
Man.
Man.
Love one another.
Man.
They've forgotten
right.
about who God is. They've
mm-hmm.
forgotten about loving their neighbor. But I
Man.
Can say this thing. Our parents left a legacy here of love
mm-hmm.
to our children that can't nobody touch but God.
That's right.
As the song says, Lord, keep me in your will so I won't get in your way.
Mm.
Mm.
I wouldn't switch him for nothing.
Mm.
We're going to be all right.
Right.
Because we know what's going on.
That's right.
God has a plan, but we don't know what the plan is.
Mm-hmm.
We might be in that number that goes down, but we better be ready when it comes.
That's right.
We better be ready when we come. So, Pastor Gregory and Pastor Kayson, you all confirmed what God showed me in this, in his word.
Mm-hmm.
It's a time
Amen.
For everything.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know his word, you're going to be a miserable soul.
Huh.
My soul feels good because I was on the right track and was too dumb to know it. But hey, didn't he show it to me?
Amen.
Not my will, but your will be done.
That's right.
This too is going to pass, and those that follow him will reap the benefit, and he's going to get the glory, and everybody on this earth is going to recognize who he is. Because
right.
Right now, every knee is bowed, and every tongue is confessing. Who can only do a miracle? God. But they're too ignorant to call his name. But we know who does the miracles. Man can't do it.
Nope.
That's God. Only God can do a miracle. And I hope you all are blessed. I hope you don't sit around and worry about tomorrow, because it's not promised.
That's
but
right.
You know
that's
who
right.
holds the future in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's God. Continue to be connected with him, and it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right.
Mm-hmm.
God bless you all. Love you. And keep holding on to God's unchanging hand.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your comment.
Not going to change. Thank you all.
Bless you.
Amen.
Bless you
Thank
all.
You for your comment tonight. We go to the next caller. Last 4 digits, 5904. 5904, you're on the air.
Well, good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
This is Denise, and I do think man has turned away from God. And first of all, I'm in that bunch too, you know. I mean, I've done some things I shouldn't have done, but for the most part, I know who God is, and I know the things that he has done for me and my family. But I can do a lot that I can.
Yeah.
And just sitting around, and I'm telling you tonight, Bible studies were good.
Bless you.
And I invited Marquita, my daughter. I said, come on and join with me. So she was on the website, and I'm on the phone. But just listening to everything, it makes me cry. It makes me sad to see that we have done so many things against God, and all he ever wanted was to love us and to show us that he's here for us. And we don't understand. We turn away like we don't need anybody, but we need him.
Amen.
We need him more than he need us.
That's
but
right.
But he can't force us to come to him. We have to go to him willfully.
That's
you
right.
Know? And his door is always open for us to come through. But sometimes we get to it and then we say, nah, I ain't ready. Now I want to do this. But there's always a time in your life that you're going to go through that door and you're going to realize that what you've been missing has been there all along. But you just didn't want to accept it. And I look at people out here, they're still not paying attention to, you know, the guidelines, doing things that they're trying to not keep us from getting the virus, but they're trying to warn us what we should do to preserve. If you're not thinking about your life, think about the next person. And people are still doing what they want to do. And I keep saying, God, like one lady, I went to the grocery store, the line says 60. She was up on my back, and she was an elderly lady. If I had not been thinking about what God has said about how you honor your seniors, your elders, and I'm thinking about my mom and everybody else, I would have said something too. But I said, but God would not bless me for that. God knows that I know better, and if you know better, you do better.
Amen.
So that means that I knew what was right. And I just said, Lord, I said, I pray for her. And I said, thank you, Jesus, for controlling my tongue, because what she was doing was totally, you know, it was like, why? You know, I'm trying to save you, so I'm all the way in the aisle in the way of everybody else to keep from getting her sick. I'm not thinking about myself, but I just said, God, you know what? We got to pray for everybody.
That's right.
And everybody means everybody, from the oldest to the youngest, because I see now that, like some of the callers have said, there's no age limit on this disease.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, and that everyone who has been touched by it, you know, it's sad, but we got to keep praying. We got to keep asking God. We got to keep asking Him to heal the land. And no, I don't agree with 45. But I've been asking, Lord, I said, change my heart, change my mind towards Him.
Mm.
Okay? Because He doesn't know better.
Mm.
And I have to continue to pray for Him and say, God, please open up His eyes, touch His heart, touch His mind.
Let him see
that the things that He is doing, it's not about Him.
Right.
It's about the people here. You want to make America great, as you say, but the things that you're doing is not of God.
Mm.
You know, and all the thing I can say is that we just got to keep praying for everybody, from the oldest to the youngest, from the leaders and all, because right now, God has everything in His hands, and He has the control of everything.
Amen. And
when God says it's time to separate those who did and those who didn't, He will do. And
Amen.
I see it.
Mm-hmm.
And every day, you know, but we just got to keep praying for the ones that don't see it. And ask God to keep us right, too, in our minds and in our hearts, because it's so easy to fall backwards when someone
mm-hmm.
does something. So we got to ask Him to control us, too, because we need His help, too, because we're not perfect, you know. And I thanked Him for that day at the store when I said, God, thank You, Lord, because You know You're a good God. And I thank You for controlling me, because I'm like, I'm looking at this lady, and I say, you know what? I'm asking Jesus to help you. And I got a little grocery and went out the store, you know? And I meant that from my heart, because she didn't know what she was doing, you know? And even if she did, she didn't do it. But I know that God saved her, and He will continue to save those who don't do us right, because we're all His children, you know? So
Amen.
Everybody, last night, be safe, and I just want to let you know that I truly enjoyed the Bible study tonight. I even called my sister, Tawan. I said, Tawan, am I late? What time? She said, it's 8 o'clock. I said, thank you. And it was 7:30. I was ready to dial up. Told my key to get online, but no, on a serious note, I truly, truly enjoyed the service tonight. And
it
put a lot into me to make me think and look and say, okay, I see, I need to do better.
God
bless. Everybody have a blessed night. Be safe. And all I ask is that you continue to pray for my family, and I will do the best and pray for you all, too, and keep everybody uplifted. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. We got one more caller. We're going to have word of prayer, last four digits. 5310 You're on air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Has man gotten too busy for God? I can say for myself, sometimes I have been in that boat. But lately, by having time to myself and thinking and praying and asking God every day to cover my children that still got to go to work, my husband, thus far, he has been faithful to his word. And also, he has a sense of humor.
Amen.
I have to laugh because the other day I was standing outside in the front. I called myself doing my little exercise, and I was just enjoying myself, having a good time. Next thing I know, I even see the birds separated. So I had to crack up laughing. I was like, Lord, You are too funny. And I was
Amen.
Like, you know, He already had this foreseen. We just didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
And He, you know, and I was like saying to myself, now even the birds are smarter than we are. And, you know, it was just like, you know, it was more of a revelation, like, okay, they've been doing this for quite some time, and we still can't get it together.
Amen.
And so, you know, but I know that the Lord is going to bring us through this,
mm-hmm.
and by sitting us down, is giving us time to spend more time with Him, keeping our mind stayed on Him, being more saturated in His Word, because the only thing that's going to save us now is His Word.
Amen.
And that's what we have to stand on. We have to believe. And the Lord will bring us through. And also, like all other callers said, there are people that the Lord is bringing closer to Him through all of this. And that's a blessing within itself. And it's going to be what God has us to be, and it's going to be over in His time, not our time. Everyone be safe. I love you, and
love
have
you.
A blessed evening.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for your comment tonight. Sheila G., we're going to turn it over to you. Last comments and prayer. Close us out, please.
Amen. My only comment is that, you know, we just thank the Lord for continuing to watch over us, to encourage us, and ask God to help us to draw closer and closer to Him. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You once again for another opportunity to study Your Word. I pray, Father, that we would just hide Your Word in our hearts, Lord, that we will take this time to draw closer to You and to share a word, even if it's on a phone call or anything, about Your goodness, Lord. I thank You, Father, for how You are just showing Your almighty power and Your sovereignty, how You're just, you know, allowing things to help happen so that we can depend on nothing but You, Lord. I pray, Father, that as we come through this, that You will just be keep us all safe and just lead, guide, and direct our paths. In Your precious name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Prayerfully, we'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good night.